Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Friday morning. How we doing? 404. Say, let's go. Let's get up. It's a big weekend. We got Fan Fest. Fanatics Fest, rather. Either way, there's a fest. If you're a fan, you could be there. We'll be there. The station will be there today. I'll be there tomorrow. 888-808-1019. On this Friday morning, we spent a lot of time on the lousy baseball teams, and specifically today, the New York Mets, as they are now on a six-game losing streak after losing all three on Father's Day weekend to Tampa Bay and rolling into Atlanta and losing all three games against the Braves in that House of Horrors, a team that's been under 500 for pretty much the entire season, a team that is supposed to be going through one of their more difficult seasons ever, in recent memory at least, a team that and a building that has owned the New York Mets, and this was supposed to be different. It was supposed to have changed in game 161 of the first game of the doubleheader last year where they clinched the playoff spot in that building. The Mets are were 5.5 games up a week ago over the Phillies. That's gone. They are now tied as they roll this six-game losing streak into tonight in Philadelphia with Blake Tidwell on the mound against Zach Wheeler for the Philadelphia Phillies. And it is just, to me, you know, it's funny because Marco played it as I sat down at 12 o'clock to start the show in his first update that I, you know, that on my show at least, asking where I wanted and played a cut where I wanted to start with the manager when asked pretty much, hey, it's a six-game losing streak. Is there anything in particular that you feel is letting you down? And his answer was starting rotation. And while clearly that has been a talking point, and it's going to be because this starting rotation has carried this Met team to where it was a week ago with a 5.5 game lead over the Phillies, 21 games over 500 off a six-game winning streak against the lousy, you know, beyond lousy Rockies and a Nationals team that ended up losing 11 straight games. That's rebuilding. And they rolled it right in and have played miserable baseball in every way, shape, and form. Right? They've played poorly defensively. They've made mental gaffes on the base paths. They got catchers using their equipment and giving up runs. They've done everything poorly, including starting pitching. And I understand that that's the biggest shocker because this starting rotation has been pitching lights out from the beginning of the year, far better than even the most optimistic Met fan would have told you. And I was pessimistic on some level. I was pessimistic last year about how they built the rotation. I was curious this year about how they built the rotation and Stern's hard, firm, not going to really put in any kind of big-time money and go get big-time talent for the top of the rotation. And he's proven to be right. As we're seeing already, Burns is done for the next year and a half, probably 2 years. And they're getting Griffin Canning pitching to a 2.6 ERA, and they're getting Clay Holmes reverting into a reliever and pitched fairly well in this game despite throwing 107 pitches in 4 2/3 and walking the leadoff hitter and everything that went with this game last night. But I understand that, and we could talk about the different plays of this game we have all morning at 888-808-1019. But to me, it's not the pitching staff, and it's never been the pitching staff. They've done an incredible job this year. They have carried this team, and they have hidden the real problem of this offense that has stars in it, and two out of the three have always been having pretty good years in Lindor and Alonso, and Soto's certainly coming along, and he hits the home run to start this series and then kind of does nothing else. But this offense just isn't good enough at scoring runs. They've been terrible with runners in scoring position, and they just haven't done enough. We were talking about it all morning, me and Fleeks. Like, when can you think of a series or a stretch of Mets baseball where they were carried by their offense, where their offense won them the series, where they could be afforded to pitch poorly because the offense just scored a ton of runs? Like, this offense now has to pick up where this rotation is leaving off. And I'm not saying the rotation's now screwed or done, but they're going through it. You've got the Senga injury. You've got the McGill injury. They have to throw Tidwell in this to start this series against Wheeler. You know, you're starting to get some regression, which was only natural. I mean, the Mets knew it. The Met fans knew it. Everyone knows eventually Griffin Canning's not going to pitch to a 2-3 ERA all year long. Eventually, Clay Holmes is going to, you know, have his issues becoming a starter, and he's already reached the innings where he's never been before in his entire career. Like, you were going to have some of this. You got to, you know, Paul Blackburn wasn't very good in this series after one good start against the Dodgers. Like, it wasn't going to continue the way it was continuing. But now it has to be the offense. And this offense just, you know, gave them a 4-1 lead in game one of the series against the Braves. And they're really one true ace right now with Senga on the shelf and still waiting for Manaea to come back has been David Peterson. He was great in that game, but he walks the leadoff hitter, which was a trend in yesterday's game too, that killed them in the fifth and sixth innings. But they walked the leadoff man, Allen, the nine hitter, in the eighth inning of that game. And since that moment, it's completely unraveled. And this offense, since the fifth inning of game one, has scored one run. They scored one run after the fifth inning of the first game of the series. That's just not good enough. I know with the Yankees, we've been talking about the 30 innings and the lack of runs. You know, the Mets aren't too far behind. And I know Chris Sale's a pretty damn good pitcher. I get that. But he completely shut them down. And they had opportunities early on in that game. They had opportunities early on in this game. Off a starting pitcher who really hasn't pitched all that well since coming back from injury in Strider. He's pitching to like a 5 ERA. He's 1-5 on the season. He had a good start last time against Colorado, but early on in this game, they have multiple guys. They have guys on in the first three innings. They're hitting the ball hard in the first three innings, and then nothing. And yeah, you know, Brazoban has been great for them, and maybe the bloom's off the rose a little bit. He didn't have a great outing. He walks the first guy he brings in after Clay Holmes walks in the tying run, the go-ahead run. He comes in and does the same. And then in the sixth, he gives up the big double to Olson. So a lot of the team has been letting them down. A lot of the team hasn't played well. This is by far the worst stretch of baseball we've seen from the Mets in a calendar year. Since the team meeting and Lindor switching the leadoff, and, you know, being 11 games under 500 during that Arizona Diamondbacks series, it all changed. And for a calendar year, they've been the best team in baseball, arguably, record-wise. And they've had the best pitching staff in baseball. And this six games have not been that. It's been their worst stretch of baseball. And they've been let down by their defense. They've been let down by their base running. They've been let down by their offense. And yes, they've been let down by their pitching. I don't want to take the pitching off the hook. But at some point, this was bound to happen, and the offense has got to be there for them. They've got to be able, a team that was built to be an offensive team. This is a team built to score runs. Like I said, when you think about how the Mets built this team, they built the team with a dynamic offense. They went out and paid for Juan Soto, right? You're expecting Vientos. You're expecting Alvarez. You're expecting, obviously, Soto, Lindor, and Alonso. You got Winker and some of its injuries, some of its guys who aren't performing. A regression from Alvarez and Vientos at epic proportions from what they were, at least what Vientos was last year. But ultimately, this team was built as an offensive studded lineup, a team that should score a ton of runs, and a pitching staff that is put together with the island of misfit toys that they are going to get enough out of. That's how the team is put together. A decent enough rotation with Senga at the top. It will be good enough because we're good at what we do, but what we're going to dominate with and what's going to lead this team is the offense. And that hasn't happened at all this year. And the positive for me that I'm going to spin here is that it's an opportunity tonight to ignite that. Because as ugly as it's been against the Atlanta Braves, it's been pretty good against the Phillies. They played the Phillies really well. They swept the Phillies earlier in the year. Obviously, the NLDS, last year. Like, they've played well against Philadelphia. Go into Philly tonight with as dramatic a pitching advantage as you could possibly have on the Philly side with Wheeler versus Tidwell, and have this offense erupt and beat up one of the best pitchers in baseball, and send a message that this was an ugly six games, but this is different. And when the Mets and Phillies are on the mound, field together, it's a lot like the opposite of when the Atlanta Braves and the Mets are on the field together. So this is an opportunity on a game that probably nobody expects them to win for an offense to wake up, smack around a pitcher they're very familiar with, and send a message to the Phils that they're lucky that they're back tied in first place, but it's not going to be there for long. And this offense has got to be the one to do it because, you know, Tidwell probably can't. So go play well against Philly and we forget it. It's not fun to blow a 5.5 game lead. It's amazing, both these teams and where they were a week ago and where they are now. The Mets were 5.5 up. They've evaporated a 5-game lead. Season's not over. They're not doomed. They're not a bad baseball team. They had a rough week, and they have an opportunity tonight to turn it around. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. We'll go to Eric and Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Hey, good morning, C-Mac.
It's a shame that
they just can't, you know, solve this problem by, like, combing the desert or something like that. You know, stupid, but...
We ain't found nothing.
Bleep. Right.
Yep. Well, you know, I can't say
one of the best lines. In fact, people are actually calling for that guy to be in the sequel. But
are they really? Just for that one line?
Yeah, because just for that one line.
I can't wait for Spaceballs too. We got a bunch of sequels. I was talking about it on Saturday. We got a bunch of sequels coming out. We got the Happy Gilmore sequel. We got the Spaceball sequel, and we got the
Naked Gun remake.
Yeah, so I'm very excited about those. Yeah.
I'm just hoping Mel Brooks, I pray that he makes it to the release of the movie, because if he does, he'll be 101 years old.
Is that a fact? Well, God bless him. Has he been around that long?
Yeah, he's going to be 99 in a couple of days.
Are they expecting the movie to be released in 2 years? Is that what you said?
2027, yeah.
Oh, it's coming out in 2027. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, hopefully he makes it.
Yeah, exactly.
And not just for that, just because I hope the guy lives forever.
Oh, sure.
Why not him?
He looks good.
Let him be the first. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a couple of callers back. I mean, I wouldn't go, look, I'm as disappointed as anybody with the recent play. You know, crushing blow to the season. I can't say that. I mean,
he said crushing blow to the organization.
Organization,
the
yeah. Right. I mean, if this, and look, I mean, trust me, the 07 and 08 were crushing blows to the organization.
Yes.
Okay, it's not that.
No, you're closing the ballpark after a loss to the Marlins. That's a crushing blow to the organization.
Right. I mean, we're just getting to the halfway point of the season. All right, it stinks that it's on a downward turn like this, but, you know, I wouldn't go that far. Now, that being said, you know, I mean, the way the game started yesterday, I was getting, you know, a bit optimistic that maybe they were going to pull a good game out there, and then it just kind of stalled. So, you know, and then I got to hear, I don't know if it was Ron Darling or who it was who said it, that, you know, watching Chris Sale, they're like, oh, he looks like the Sale of the past, you know. So, I'm sorry, the Strider.
Early on, they were hitting him hard, and then they started chasing, and they were chasing that slider, and he found a groove.
Yeah.
And Alonso really had a bad series. I know he had a couple of hits in it, but he had some really bad at-bats. He had an opportunity with a runner on third. He couldn't come through. And, you know, the offense just hasn't been there. Now, Clay Holmes wasn't terrible in this game. He's one pitch away against a rookie catcher from having five innings and one run. But you know, he's just a little wild and walking the leadoff guys. We saw it multiple times. Yeah. That's what changed the entire series around, because the Mets, if you think about where they were Friday night, I keep saying the weekend because my kids were off yesterday. I'm an idiot. Tuesday night in Atlanta, right? What's the difference between this team? Is the new addition of Juan Soto. So Soto comes here, first at bat against the Braves, hits the home run, gives them the lead. Peterson, coming off the complete game shutout, is you know, dealing again. They have a 4-1 lead into the eighth inning, and then he walks Allen, the nine hitter, to lead off the eighth. And from that moment on, that completely changed the entire course of the series. It changed the entire course of the series.
I mean, it's almost as if, I mean, and you brought it up a minute ago, it's almost as if that calendar year switch, you know, once it hit that point, it like almost reverted right back to the start of last season when they got to such a bad start. You know, I mean, I'm hoping that's not the case, but, you know, but it's just, you know, it's been a lot of bad baseball all around, you know, touching every aspect. And, you know, the real shame of it is, you know, every time it seems like Soto is starting to get going, it lasts for a handful of games, and then it goes backwards.
Yeah.
You know, so it's
and thank you for the call, Eric. He wasn't awful in the series. He didn't do much. We have seen a lot, for whatever reason. And, again, I watched every one of his bats last year, and I've watched pretty much every one of his bats this year with the Mets. A lot more weak ground balls to second base and rolling over on a lot more weak ground balls than I ever remember last year. But you're right. I'm not ready to say he's back in the funk necessarily. But yeah, he was getting hot. He was really getting hot. And he had a bunch of home runs in a row. And then he hits the home run to start the series. And you thought maybe this was going to where he made his mark. Like, it was almost like, last year, things changed with the home run from Lindor and that game to start off the doubleheader that day, and they clinched on that field, and now they've added Juan Soto, and now the Braves don't belong. Now this is going to change the dynamic of the Braves and the Mets. Now the Mets are the team that's going to give all kinds of fits to the Braves and arguably end their season. If they would have swept, you're talking about a six-game switch. Right now, they're 5 games under .500. They would have been 11 games under .500. 11 games under .500, which is a memorable mark for the Met fan, as last year, that's where it started, the uprise for them. But 11 games under .500, 16 or so, 15 games back in the division. Like, it kind of could have been. I know it's June, but it's kind of like the death knell to the Braves saying, you don't belong with the top of this division. And it felt like we were kind of going in that direction despite losing the 3 to Tampa. It felt like that home run, Peterson dealing, here we go. And then everything kind of just changed. And I thought the Juan Soto home run was significant, that it was Juan Soto. It was like the new era of the Mets is they're better than the Braves. That's the new era of Met baseball. And instead, right back into the same. And I wonder, too, you know, me and Fleas were talking about this. Is there like a natural, oh my God, here we go. Is there a natural, now not from Juan Soto, who's never been a part of this, but Pete Alonso, who's very familiar with losing to the Braves, McNeil, Nimmo, even Lindor over the last handful of years. Like, is there this, here we go, we just can't win in this building. And then they get completely shut down the next 2 days. Now, Chris Sale's very good, I get it, but some of the at-bats, some of the McNeil at-bats, some of the Mauricio at-bats, which when Vientos comes back, I don't know if Mauricio is long for this team. I think, you know, he does come through with the one base hit that scores a run in this game, but he's had some really ugly at-bats after kind of feeling like he turned it in, you know, that early first 8 to 10 at-bat struggle kind of felt, oh, he hits the bomb of a home run, you see the power he has, but ultimately, a lot of ugly at-bats. And I still question McNeil against tough pitching. I know he dominated against the Colorado Rockies, but I don't know. Maybe that's just my bias against McNeil. I'm tired of watching him, and some of his bats are just atrocious. But like, this offense has just got to be better, plain and simple. And it felt like maybe there was a little bit of like, oh, man, we just don't beat the Braves, man. We just can't beat the Braves. And then they try and do too much, and they make mistakes. They throw behind the runner. They touch the catchers made just two of the most asinine plays you've ever seen. They're getting thrown out on the base paths. Like, they just did everything wrong. They did everything wrong. But no one's going to criticize the manager for that. Oh, I had to get it in. I have to say, every time I talk about how the Mets made mental mistakes, I have to get it in that nobody, not one person, I think Lepresti's out there in the newsroom. I'm going to have to ask Lepresti how nobody in any of the segments on SNY, on all the, you know, on all the back and forths, all the sitting there across each other, all the staring into JJ's eyes he's had to do over the last 2 days, nobody has said, man, all these mental mistakes, Mendoza, he's got to, you know, you got to bench someone. You got to nip this in the bud. You can't have this lackadaisical team. What kind of ship is Mendoza running? How come nobody says that?
Do you think it's embarrassing that Yankee fans go after Boone, right? Like, if you had to pick one right now, you think it's right that the Mets fans don't blame Mendoza for these mistakes?
No, of course, yes. No, they should not be blaming Mendoza.
So Mets fans are smarter than Yankees fans?
Well, in this particular instance, yes. I'll even go that far. Yes. There should not be blaming. I just find it funny that when one team makes mental mistakes, it is clearly because of the laissez-faire, you know, milk and cookies, non-accountability atmosphere that the manager brings. But when the other team does it, well, I mean, listen, Alonso made a mistake. What can you do? Alvarez has gotten no better. Torrens, you can't do that. What, I mean, what's he thinking? Nobody says, man, the manager, he's got to be, you can't allow this kind of stuff. And, you know, Mendy ball. Nobody. Nobody suggests that this is happening because the manager allows it. But yet, with the Yankees. And don't give me, oh, it's because 8 years. It either, mistakes like that on the field either reflect management or it doesn't. Plain and simple. You can't say, well, it's happened so much that eventually, no. When it happens, it's either mistakes made by the players or the manager not holding players accountable. One or the other. But not one person. I'm coming out right now. I'm breaking. I'm going out to ask Lepresti right now why nobody on ESPN, no one on SNY even remotely came close to the idea that Mendy's got to hold his players more accountable and Mendy can't have this kind of atmosphere. He's got to nip this in the bud. Players need to be benched, taken off the field right now.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Back to your calls in just a second. You know, as I was coming into the show, Paul DeTino and John Schmelk were doing a Giants mini camp 2-hour special talking Giants football, and they had said something, and I just wanted to, you know, Hyatt, who obviously has really had an issue with the organization, and as a third round pick has been pretty much dismissed, at least it's felt like that, from Dable and his offensive game plan. And we all know, you know, he can't run the different routes, or at least what we've heard. And it's just been, they've been begging him early on to take control of a position. He has been able to do it. And this year, apparently, he's put on like 20 pounds of muscle, and he's still running just as fast as he's ever run. And, you know, the only thing I'll say, like, just to bring in football to the conversation for a second before we get back to the calls, like, I have to admit, like, I'm really starting to feel like there is a possibility. And maybe it's just because we are unhappy with our baseball teams for a second. And I know there's some talk about Jackson Dart, and I don't really care about that all that much. I don't care how well he's played in these camps. Like, we have to find out. We won't find out for a long time. But Russell Wilson and some of this, like, you've got Malik Nabers. If you could ever get anything out of Hyatt, I really like Wandell Robinson. They got two backs in Scatterboo and Tracy. Like, I just really think there is a chance this Giant offense, and I believe in Brian Daboll as an offensive coach. I do. I believe in him as a quarterback whisperer, for lack of a better term. I believe in him as an offensive coach. I just do. I know the head coaching was what really put him on the map year one, not so much the offensive game plan, but just head coaching and coaching turnovers out of Daniel Jones. And then since then, he's been terrible. So it's not like the offense has ever been good. Even in the 1 year they won, they didn't really do it offensive dynamic. They had a really good defense, and they got just enough with the run game. Daniel Jones running it, not turning the ball over. But I just feel like if Russell Wilson has anything left in the tank, I really think there's a lot of offensive weapons. They're moving Neal into offensive guard. I think that's going to be good for him. I think as long as Andrew Thomas is healthy, I think that there's a chance the offensive line's much better. They have legitimately two backs, young and talented, who do different things. And then if Hyatt could ever be anything, if he could just be a speed guy who develops, and they're saying he's running different routes and looking really good, I think there's weapons to this offense, and I think there's a chance with Brian Daboll to actually have a... I know the schedule is brutal. I haven't seen good offense in forever from the New York Giants. When's the last time you felt like they had a dynamic offense? They have a dynamic player, right? They have a dynamic player in Malik Nabers, but when's the last time you felt like the Giants had a dynamic offense? And I just feel like all they need is, like, you know, if Slayton's going to play well, if Wandell Robinson, you know, can stay healthy and do different things, and they can add Hyatt and some of the other, like, we're hearing some positive things out of the wide receiver room. We know that the one thing Russell Wilson can still do is throw the deep ball pretty well. Just trying to think, maybe, just maybe, they can have an offensive team this year. And I'd love to see Hyatt, who is determined to try and make something of himself after really just doing nothing here over the last couple of years as a third-round pick. So we'll see. Just a little bit of football as we start to trend in that direction over the summer, but still a baseball moment. And even the Tibbs thing, we talked briefly about Thibodeau and the search for the new head coach. And again, Game 7, folks. Game 7. The Indiana Pacers absolutely blow out the Oklahoma City Thunder in Game 6 and force a Game 7. And I don't know. Say whatever you want to say. If part of the reason that Tibbs gets fired is because they couldn't beat this Indiana Pacers team and they turn around and beat Oklahoma City and are champs, I mean, good luck to the next head coach. I mean, this is why he had to be fired, because he couldn't beat a team that's going to go on and beat the best team in the NBA. Maybe. God, man, I hope Oklahoma City wins this Game 7 on Sunday night. I'm going to be so pissed off if we have to watch Halliburton. We have to watch Siakam. We got to wait. We got to watch Carlisle. All those guys hoist the trophy. Watch Obi Toppin hoist the trophy. Knowing that that team that obviously went on this crazy run, best record since January, rolled through the playoffs, does the same thing to Oklahoma City, comes from behind in Game 1, wins that way, forces a Game 7, finds a way to win on the road in Oklahoma City. If they do all that and the Knicks fired their coach, for a coach that took him to the first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years because he couldn't beat that team, that Oklahoma City, the best defensive team in the sport with 68 wins and the best team in the NBA all year long, couldn't do it. It's going to make me mad. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Greg in Atlanta. What's up, Greg?
Hey, C-Mac. Just want to say love your show.
Thank you.
Caller, long-time listener. I'm going to be real quick and give you some love your takes regarding the Yankees and the Mets. I'm a Mets fan. I'm here in Atlanta, but I was going to go to the game tonight, and I'm so glad I didn't, because, like I said, the offense has been non-existent. And if they had won the first game that they blew, I probably would have went to the game, but mm-hmm. I'm kind of glad I saved my money. I'll just save my money and go out there in August maybe when, you know, these guys wake up. But it's definitely – I think it's definitely between the ears with this team when it comes to the hitting. You nailed it when you explained that they a lot of swinging out the zone, a lot of first pitch swinging, over-aggressiveness, watching fastballs go by. I'm like, is this analytics that's messing these guys up? Cause mm-hmm. they're not coming off as hitters to me. I don't know. Where the Yankees have a stretch where they lose, and I call it a hiccup. With the Mets, I call it a throw-up, because it's like I know, like, we're going to the Philly. I just have this weird feeling.
I think I think
they're gonna fall on their face with Wheeler.
Yeah. You know? So. Well, I mean, listen, we'll see. And thank you for the call, Greg. I think you call one a hiccup and the other a throw up because you care more. I mean, that's the only thing. Believe me, if you're a Yankee fan, that was just as much a throw up as what the Mets are doing. I promise you. They had more opportunity. They're playing a more inferior opponent in the Angels and had multiple. All they had to do was score like a run. They lost 7-1. Last night to the Atlanta Braves, and the Braves, you know, played well in the series. Like, the Angels didn't even play that well. Like, they pitched well because the Yankees can't hit, but they didn't play that well. They made mistakes too, but Yankees just couldn't get anything going and had multiple opportunities. Even through this stretch, all they had to do was bunt and hit a sacrifice fly. They win a couple games. Like, even during the stretch of just offensive ineptitude, they pitched well enough where just a couple of things go their way, they win two of these games. I'm not saying they would have won a lot of them, but they could have won a game or two in this six-game stretch. Easy. But, yeah, the Mets' approach offensively has been, look, I don't know, because you look at the underlying numbers, they talk about it, like, they're over, like, the other night, I forget which game it was, but they really, you know, the broadcast did a deep dive on their batting average, their hard hit rate, their, you know, some of the projected numbers that would make you think the offense would be better, because they're at the top of the league in a lot of these offensive categories, OPS, batting average, different things. But the runners in scoring position is so down that it drags them down with runs scored. They're only seventh in the National League in runs scored when they're at the top of the league in a lot of the offensive categories, or at least close to the top of the league. And I don't know how you fix that. Like, I don't know. They acknowledged it, right? Mendoza came out and said something. Chavez came out and said something. But I don't know how you work. I mean, it's situational hitting, right? It's cutting down on your swing. It's trying to put the ball in play. It's whatever. But for the most part, like, it's just good at bats, which you work on all the time. I don't know how you fix a team that is successful in most everything an offense needs to do other than coming through in the clutch. Like, I don't know how you coach that. I don't know how you fix that. I don't think extra T work is going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't know how they do it mentally, but in this game particularly, I mean, maybe you saw it Sunday on Father's Day as well, where it was just they were getting beat up and the offense kind of just like went to sleep. In this game, you could tell early on, good at bats, later throughout the game, swinging at stuff all over the place. Pressing, trying to do too much, trying to come through with the big hit, trying to do too much as they're losing a game that you don't want to get swept in. The approach has been bad. The defense has been bad. The base running has been bad. The pitching has been bad. They did everything poorly in this entire series. But again, they have to turn it around and go take on the Phillies here. And it's not going to be easy in Wheeler versus tells his name, Tidwell. Wheeler versus Tidwell is about as pronounced a pitching advantage as you could have in the sport. But it's just time the offense did their job. Plain and simple. That's really what it is with the Mets right now. It could get worse, and maybe I'll have a different opinion. And I know that the starting rotation is going to be the talk because it's what we praise them for. We have gone above and beyond, and rightfully so because they've earned it. We've gone above and beyond with how, oh my God, the pitching lab and Hefner and Stearns, they're doing things, amazing. He was even doing this in Milwaukee, but he's taking it to another level here with the Mets, Griffin Canning, and it's incredible what they've done. And so we go on and on. We wax poetic about it. And then once it starts to falter, now we're going to hammer it, right? That's just, such depth, like Paul Blackburn. Yeah, he's good. Or, they're dealing with injuries, so they got to bring up Tidwell. Or, Clay Holmes, most innings he's ever thrown in his career, this is going to go well moving forward. Like, that's what we'll say now is we're concerned with the losing. But I don't know if it's fair. Because for the most part, in these starts, obviously David Peterson's the one shining example of still going along and pitching excellent, but you're dealing with some injuries. You lost Senga. You're waiting for guys to come back. It sounds like Montas is going to pitch against the Braves next week. He's been terrible in his rehab starts, but I don't know what kind of stock you put into that. I have to see what he does actually on the mound. But in a major league game. But the pitching has been okay enough during the stretch to keep you in some games. You're not getting blown out in these games. You had an opportunity to keep it close. The offense has done nothing. Like that, they scored one run after the fifth inning of game one of this series. That's the problem. It's not Clay Holmes. It's really not. We're going to focus on it, I can tell, because we've been praising it. And whenever you were praising something and then it starts to falter, now it's like, well, was it really this good? No, it wasn't. We all knew that. The Mets knew that. They openly talked about it. David Stearns said it in a press conference that we don't expect the starting pitching to be this good for that long. Like, we know it. It's time for the offense to pitch in. It's time for the offense to take over and lead the team for a little bit while they're struggling with injuries with this rotation. The issue in this series, again, you could call it the pitching, call it the bullpen, call it whatever you want. They blew the game. I get that. They scored four runs, and they scored it all in the first couple innings, and then did nothing. They got the Taylor home run in the fifth inning and then did nothing the entire rest of the series. They got to be better. And thankfully, they've played better against Philadelphia. This has been a team they're comfortable with. They swept them earlier in the series. They won the postseason series last year. They are comfortable against Philadelphia. Go out there and pound, because I promise you, all the ills, like, if they take two of three against Philly, if they go out tonight and beat up Wheeler and they win this game with this pitching matchup, suddenly you're going to feel a hell of a lot better, even one game later, even though you blew a five-game lead.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, our ride has almost reached its end. Just a few more minutes, and let's take your phone calls in those last few minutes. In a segment I call Rapid Fire Style. Does it actually go rapid fire? I don't know. Does it matter? Probably not. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls, though, as we wrap up our Friday morning. Chris in Florida. What's up, Chris?
Hey, am I here?
You made it.
Oh, man. Awesome. Say this. You're one of the greatest of all time. You're a Hall of Famer.
Oh, thank you.
Say this. What I say is that good things come. You said?
I know. I'm sorry, Chris. That's twice, though. But thank you for the call. Maury in Belmore. What's up, Maury?
It's night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro.
What do you think? Yo, somebody's been hitting the bottle. I love it. Fantastic. Listen, real quick. I know. I love it. Hey, listen, first of all, happy Fajr's Day. I didn't get to tell you happy Fajr's Day.
Okay, thank you.
And then I want to say, I believe that you're right. The Giants offense could be incredible this year and it might get some wins.
Yeah, I don't know about incredible, but I think it could actually be good. I think we might actually see, and hold your breath. And are you driving, Maury, or no?
No.
Okay, good. So just good. Be careful. They might actually throw some touchdown passes.
I know.
It's crazy to think.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know how it's going to work necessarily. But I do think for some reason, just the way they were talking about Hyatt. And again, I'm not a camp. I don't know. But now, he had a productive college career. He can get down the field. If he's added some weight, maybe it's enough where Brian Daboll's going to like show some faith in him and give him a chance. And I just think if they can get a wide receivers room that works around Neighbors, and they have two running backs I really like, and if the offensive line can block, and I think they can as long as Andrew Thomas and Illuminor are healthy, like I just have a feeling with Brian Daboll, this offense might be better than people think. I really do. I think they have a chance to score some points.
I was going to talk about OKC rolling over for the Game 7, but I think which is going to be a mistake that might hurt them. But
yeah,
let's talk about how many pitchers, Sale, five others that we said no to because Volpe was the future of this team. How many no's did we say?
We didn't say no to
Volpe. How many players
they didn't
did
say
we
no to
stop
Chris Sale?
Volpe's untradeable. Volpe's untradeable. Look at him. He's tradable. He's tradable. He should have been tradable then. We could have got a lot more assets for him in the past.
Yeah,
suspects. Prospects are suspects. Very important.
Who are they going to trade him for? They weren't going to trade for Chris Sale.
I'm not saying now.
No, then.
We turned down Christopher. We can't. That's our shortstop of the future. I can't trade him. How many times did Cashman say no? On great trades in the middle of the year.
No, I don't know. Please, that's what I'm asking you. Tell me, how many times did he say no?
We're in a fast move here. I can't give it a list. It was about five trades during.
I don't remember specific trades where it's like, I would do it, but they asked for Anthony Volpe.
Yeah. Well, all right. So we should talk about it. But I'm just saying he's just not what we thought he was.
No, obviously not. I'm willing to go there. I think he's still better than you think he is, but I don't think he's I don't think he's as good as we hoped he would be. Absolutely.
That era is a game changer. That era lost that game.
Of course it did. No, of course it did. The era was a killer. Of course. Yeah. No, I mean, of course. And he's had a tendency of doing that. I'm just saying, like, Anthony Volpe, and I heard Gio talking about him, and he's right. And I said at the beginning of the year, Anthony Volpe has to have a better offensive season, or I'm not committing to him as the starting shortstop next year. Like, I firmly believe that.
I think you're right.
Here's the thing where I disagree with some people. He has had a better offensive season. He's got a 760 OPS. He's on pace for 90 RBIs. He leads the team in doubles. When I say that, people go, okay, so he hit a couple doubles. He's on pace. Now, he's got to be on pace, and that's why I said Gio.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to continue, obviously. We got to see what the second half brings. But, like, he's on pace right now for 40 doubles, 90 RBIs, and a 760 OPS. Like, are we really going to say that that's a bust, that that's not a useful player, that that's not good enough to be the starting shortstop of the New York Yankees? He can't have killer errors, I grant you, and I wish he was more impactful on the base paths, but like we act like this is a bum. He has not been a bum this year. He hasn't.
Never said he was a bum. I just feel like he's not what we expected. You know, you have a shortstop, no error. I know everyone makes errors, but they're very errors at the wrong time just hurts.
His errors seem to be impactful.
At the wrong time, that's all.
Agreed. He's had killer errors at the wrong time. Thank you for the call. Tonight is your night, bro. There's no doubt. Going back to last year, in the final game of the first half, killer. Like, he's had some killer errors. There's no doubt about it. But again, like, in a vac, if I just told you, forget everything else because you can't get hung up on what he could have been traded for. I don't even remember what you're talking about. I mean, yeah, was he deemed untouchable? But I don't know of specific trades where they would have done it the other team would have done it if they gave him Anthony Volpe and it would have changed the Yankee franchise. Like, that I don't remember. But, they didn't sign free agent shortstops. And I think, thankfully, for a lot of them, outside of Seager, I think pretty much thank you that they didn't sign these guys for the big money contracts they got. But clearly he's not a superstar. But just in a vacuum, again, third-year player who's already won a gold glove. I agree with you, too many errors this year, no doubt. But he still is capable of making the incredible play. We've seen it. His errors tend to be timely. But, like, this is a kid who's on pace for a 4 WAR, and WAR gets paid about $8 million per one. So you're talking about he's a $20 million player if he got a contract off this year. Believe that or not, it is. He's got a 760 OPS. He's on pace for 90 RBIs. Like, and we're going to scream and cry that he's the shortstop of the Yankees? 90 RBIs? And 40 doubles? Like, I agree. He has to show me that that's the... But the first half, I was screaming all offseason, Volpe's got to be better, Volpe's got to be better. I'm going to be hypocritical if I don't acknowledge that he has been better. It's been ugly this week. The Boston series, he got on base 4 times. Give me another guy who did that. Thank you guys very much. I'll catch you tomorrow at Fanatics Fest on Saturday morning. Enjoy the rest of your day. The warm-up show is next. Bye-bye. 101.9 FM.
WFAN, New York. Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.